You know, the timeline is going to differ for every case. It's going to depend on the case. The biggest one to me when I'm preparing for oral argument is how well do I already know the case, right? Sometimes it's a case that you've briefed for years and you know the case inside and out, and maybe it's recent, and so you're not going to need as much time to get ready for that argument. Sometimes you're hired just to do the oral argument, so that's a whole different kind of timeline. However, and then of course there's all kinds of other factors, what the client wants, what your budget is. Whatever your timeline is, I recommend everybody having a beginning, a middle, and an end to your preparation. And the beginning part, I like to think that the beginning is going to be somewhere in 30 to 45 days out. And that's where maybe it's been a long time since you looked at the case. You're going to get the case and you're going to read the briefs again. You're going to gather the materials you need. You're going to talk to whoever it is who's going to help you get ready. You're going to activate those people and say, hey, you know, we got an oral argument in 30 days. Start thinking about what the hard questions are going to be. The middle, though, is probably the hardest part. The middle is, you know, maybe it's 2 weeks out, maybe it's 3 weeks out, maybe it's 1 week out. That's where you're reading the record, you're reading the key cases, you're working on your script, you're working on answers to questions. One of the parts, what was the phrase we heard from the clinic lawyers, the arc of despair or whatever that phrase was. The arc of despair for me in oral argument preparation is usually when you're the appellee, that reply brief came in, and you read it, but, you know, you didn't have to respond to it. So you read it. You might have looked at a few of the cases. You thought, oh, well, they kind of got us on that point. Then you have to get ready for oral argument, and you really read that reply brief. Now you're really looking at it, and you think, man, what am I going to say to that? They had some really good answers. And so you have always have that dip in the middle where you think, oh, boy, this is hard. I'm the appellee. I thought this was just going to be affirmed, but, boy, they had some really good stuff in that reply brief that I'm going to have some answers for that at oral argument because, you know, we didn't do a SIR reply, couldn't do a SIR reply, whatever. So somewhere in that middle phase, I think you want to talk is where you really want to be thinking about a mock argument. And I'm going to come back to that. So the last 3 days, the end, hopefully it's 3 days, maybe it's just 1 day. This is where you really want to internalize what your case is about. Your themes are going to emerge. You're going to find the sound bites and the precise words you want to say. And then the one thing I learned from someone is if all that you get out before questions start is, may it please the court, what are the two or three things that you are absolutely going to say somewhere in your 20, 25 minutes. So mock arguments. Mock arguments, I use that phrase broadly. I really think it covers any setting in which you're going to practice what you're saying, what you're actually going to say in court. It can range. I think there's a lot of great oral advocates who are big believers in mock arguments, and they do several of them. But there's a lot of great oral advocates who don't do them at all or ever. And one that I know very well who said, I only do it if the client makes me. That person doesn't need them. But I think there's really kind of three kinds of mock arguments. The first one is that really more of a brainstorming session where you're just getting together with people, you're talking about the case, you're practicing some answers, you're saying things orally, but you're not kind of doing a sort of formal court setting. The other end of the spectrum is where you really try to duplicate the courtroom. I do think for lawyers who are doing their first argument, it probably is good to have one of those where you really do feel the pressure of having to answer questions in the time given. And then the last one is sort of a hybrid combination where you're kind of doing both. You have people who are asking you questions, you're answering them, but then you're sort of going off script and you're talking about things as you go through. I would say, you know, not every case is going to justify a mock argument, but I do think there's a value in every case if all you do is just have somebody who's unfamiliar with your case read the briefs and ask questions, because they often will have questions. They're often about the facts. They may not even, you know, about the case that you know, a judge coming to the case is going to have the same questions. So characteristics of a helpful mock argument. I think the ideal mock arguments are where you have a fresh perspective, you have maybe former judges, you have appellate lawyers who know the court very well, and they're bringing in, they haven't been involved in the briefs, and they're bringing you a whole new perspective on the case that you haven't thought of. I've also had seen terrific mock arguments done by people, only people who were deeply involved in the case, but they know kind of where all the issues are. And so I think, you want this panel that provides a fresh perspective, help you identify your weaknesses, test your themes, practice answering hypotheticals, and help you also tell your story, tell the narrative that you want to tell. I've been part of some unhelpful mock arguments, and I guess I would say the ones to me that are unhelpful are, I've seen some people take their role as mock justice a little too seriously, right? Where they're trying to like embarrass you or give you a gotcha question, and that's not helpful, right? So think about who you're going to bring in and who's actually going to help you think through the issues. I've been part of mock arguments where you think maybe it's a show for the client, right? Everybody wants to show the client that they know more than the other person. You know, those kinds of things are not helpful. And really, mock arguments, particularly when you're maybe preparing someone. I had one where we were preparing a lawyer who was a very experienced lawyer, and he was absolutely the right person to argue the case, but he had not done in a lot of appellate arguments. And really, I felt like the real goal of the mock argument was just confidence building.